all these words that I always thought that I had to say to him and all these methods of praying. Jesus entered in when I had nothing to say and nothing to give, and just really transformed how I understood my walk with him and letting him into those places to minister and care for me in ways that I really couldn't care for myself at that time.
You're listening to Vintage Stories. I'm Jennifer Murphy.
And I'm Michael Murphy.
Today we sat down with Kara, and it really was one of the most emotional podcasts we've recorded so far. I really loved it and loved getting to know her, and she's just really inspiring, her love for Jesus and her talent for teaching his word. Just hearing her story of how her and her husband came to plant Vintage North, all the work that she's been doing in the women's ministry and for Vintage North.
I trust you're going to enjoy this conversation as much as I did, and just hearing how she's been able to leverage her talents and her skills to be able to grow a very powerful women's group, but it's something that is spilling over into the Vintage community and is really changing hearts and bringing people closer to Jesus. Without further ado, let's go ahead and dive in. Well, so let's go ahead and get started.
You can say dive in.
Yeah, we'll just get started.
Well, we're here with Kara. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and what campus you go to, about your family?
Yeah, we go to Vintage Church North. Mm-hmm. My husband and I planted that church 6.5 years ago. We've been at Vintage for 8 or 9 years now.
Been a while.
Somewhere in there, yeah. We've got 3 kids, Archer, Abel, and Whit. All of them we've had since planting. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Busy.
Birth of church and 3 children.
How long has Vintage North been up there?
6.5 years.
6.5 years. Got it. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Busy 6 years for you, I guess.
Busy six yeah. years. But good. Awesome. Yeah.
So what do you do? Where'd you go to school?
Yeah. So I taught high school English for 5 years in the classroom, and then taught online after I had our kids.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's
awesome. A little transition.
So I went to my undergrad at Florida State in English, and then went to State and did my master's in English.
Uh-huh.
And also a degree at Southeastern.
Wow.
So I really like school.
Yeah.
A lot. You
collect all the degrees.
I collect all the degrees. I would keep going if I had the time.
So did your master's study, is that what brought you to the Raleigh area? Or
yeah. I moved up here to go to seminary at Southeastern, which is where I met Tanner.
Okay.
And then did my master's in Christian studies, and then still wanted to keep going. So went to State and studied English.
Got it. So you actually went to seminary and got really involved in in scripture and faith. So as you grew up, were you always religious, or was it always a really strong connection with Jesus?
Yeah. My dad's a pastor.
Ah.
So definitely steeped in a religious home from childhood. Great parents who love Jesus, pretty conservative Southern Baptist background. Definitely by the time I got to high school, lots of questions, lots of confusion, some anger, trying to sort out my belief versus my parents' belief versus some things I was seeing in the church. So it really wasn't until I got to college that I realized I had really insatiable love for the scriptures and couldn't get enough of them. Wanted to read and study and teach as much as I could. Not sure what that looked like for me in the long run.
Yeah.
So I moved to Honduras and taught high school English there, but it was a Christian school, so I was able to kind of marry those two things. Uh-huh. It was amazing. I loved it. I loved teaching literature during the day and then having Bible studies in my home in the evening. And it was from that place that I knew I wanted to go to seminary and really just dive more into theology and church history and learn more. Yeah.
So you guys were going to Vintage downtown for a few years before you planted at Vintage North.
Yeah.
Did you guys know you wanted to plant a church? Was that something that was on your hearts, or how did you guys come to that decision?
So we both graduated seminary mm-hmm. and really felt at a loss at what God would have for us next. So we had met with several other couples who were planning churches in other places, and we were attending a church in Wake Forest at the time, and God just kept closing that door for us. And we applied to some mission agencies, like maybe God was calling us back overseas, and it's pretty wild how everything just, that definitely wasn't what the Lord had for us. And so I went ahead and applied to States program at English in English, mm-hmm. and Tanner was working at a bank downtown. So we moved from Wake Forest and like, we'll just take it semester by semester and see what God has for us. And he was taking a photography class at State and walking around one evening and saw a sign for Vintage downtown.
No kidding, a sign.
A sign. So we hadn't gone to church in Raleigh yet. We were still driving to Wake Forest. So he went in, and the guy playing the drums was J.M. Huray, who was friends with Tanner's brother at Virginia Tech. Mm. And so Tanner immediately made a personal connection. Tyler was preaching in John, and Tanner came home and said, you have to listen to this sermon. Like, these people are doing what we want. They're mm-hmm. loving the city. Their faith has action. God's love was all over that place. So we just started attending, and yeah. Tanner became more and more involved and eventually sure. was asked to go through the elder process and became the community group's pastor. Mm-hmm. And then from that, asked us to plant Midtown. Wow. So, yeah.
That's amazing.
That's quite a story.
That's right. So. Yeah. Hey, one that doesn't feel very intentional. We're just, we'll wait and see what God has for us. And he's yeah. the one who obviously guided that.
So, yeah. And it's all worked out. And so the, obviously Vintage North has been developing and growing. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the growth up there? Or,
yeah. Yeah. So we planted 6.5 years ago, and it almost feels comical how little Tanner and I had any idea what we were doing at all.
Which is perfect.
And we have had a tremendous group of people with us. The people who go to North are, I mean, they just love Jesus. And I don't know. I don't feel like any of this story has been about things Tanner and I have done as much as mm-hmm. this great mercy and this people that God has put us with for this journey. But one of the ways that we've grown is our child to adult ratio is absurd.
You're multiplying.
We have multiplied tremendously. So we have about 70 to 80 kids on any Sunday morning, with about 120 adults. So mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, we've just figured out how do we continue to walk and be faithful in the season of life that God has given us. But I think one of the ways our church has really grown that I've just been so thankful for is we've had incredible women at our church. Mm-hmm. One of my passions has been to teach God's word, and we started our women's ministry pretty much when we first launched, and have just seen these women grow and loving Jesus with all of themselves. And it's just been pretty amazing to watch that community grow and that desire to grow. Yeah, so probably a large part of how our women's ministry was born is I was creating a space for me personally to teach God's word. A heavy conviction I have is that women have a space to study the scriptures together and learn to teach. I think that for many of us, the churches that we attend, the examples we see are men teaching God's word. And I think it's important for women to see other women digging into the scriptures. And I wanted to create a space for myself to learn. And I wanted to create a space for other women to practice teaching in a place where they didn't feel like they had to be perfect at it, a place where they could mess up, and that there was a lot of grace there. And particularly knowing that the Spirit has given us all different gifts, and that there are women in our church who have the gift of teaching, as well as many other gifts, but really creating a space for them to use those gifts within the church. And to see that flourishing has been exciting and humbling, and I don't know, just what God is doing in that space of women coming and saying, hey, I really want, would you mind if I did this over the summer, or if I taught this? What if we just did it over online? Or what if I have a member to my house and we dive into this study? Or I feel kind of nervous about writing my own curriculum. Could I use this curriculum and teach that? And it's been awesome and encouraging to see. So yeah, our women's ministry was in some ways birthed out of, I wanted that place for myself, and then wanted to give that place to other women too.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
Yeah.
I kind of want to ask a question, and maybe we can edit this, but my understanding on Vintage, which is kind of traditional in other churches as well, is that only men can be pastors. Mm-hmm. And you having had gone to seminary, mm-hmm. I guess you were probably, that's something that you wanted to get involved in yourself. Mm-hmm. You probably had a passion for it. And so that kind of drove some of the, what you were doing. Can you talk about that a little bit? Or is that something that you wrestled with?
Yes. Yeah. These are big questions.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be honest. It's hard.
Don't have to answer.
I went to seminary because I loved. Sorry. This is super raw.
Mm-hmm.
Tanner and I just had the world's longest conversation about it last night. So it's like right here.
I understand. Yeah, no, I understand.
I can go there. I just need to get the this under space. Control. This like, under hey. Control. Yes. Yeah. Yes. No, this is great.
I think it would be, if you can, I think it'd be interesting to share, because I think it's one of the things that you're not, obviously yeah. you're creating this community up there because yeah. people have some of the same thoughts.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't know, maybe it can be inspiring to somebody.
So. Yeah. I mean, I can just, behind the scenes, there's no doubt God has like been moving in such a clear and such a powerful way that he's actually brought me into a room this morning to talk about it. So I feel like I, in some ways, I think continue to hide a little bit, and he's not letting me hide anymore. So, and in fact, it feels slightly comical that you're asking me these questions right now, because that was literally half our conversation last night. So this is good. I just rain in the tears.
All right.
Yes. So I went to seminary because I love Jesus, and I feel that he has gifted me, particularly in teaching, and my passion is to teach his word. And but it's hard to be in a seminary that is primarily men, mm-hmm. Going there to become pastors. And really, for the first time in my life, was made very aware of just how female I was. Mm-hmm. Really up until that point, even growing up in a really conservative church, and my parents very much affirmed, man, make much of Jesus, use your life for Jesus. And when I was in Honduras, I was surrounded by these women who, I mean, knew theology, knew the scriptures, had deep prayer lives. And I mean, they just, it was those women at this space in Honduras who challenged me to go to seminary. And so up until that point, I hadn't really thought of myself as anything other than Kara, one who loves Jesus, and and then begin to wrestle with, so what does that actually look like for me? And I assumed it meant that I would go back on the mission field, because that is a more, I don't know, acceptable place for a woman who's trying to make much of Jesus through giftings such as teaching. And I guess I don't know. I just went because I wanted to study and I wanted to know more. And it was when I got there, I began to wrestle with, so actually, what am I going to do with this? Okay. And then I met Tanner and we got married, and there were all these questions about, we were trying to figure out, how do we make much of Jesus together? And marrying someone who has the same heart as me, and it was just amazing on those levels, but made the choice to go on to state and study English because that was a place where I felt like I could use my gifts a little bit easier. I could teach English just like I could teach the Bible. And so we found ourselves at Vintage, and honestly, at the time, there weren't a lot of opportunities for women to teach the Bible, and I felt a lot like doors were closing around me, and there was a lot of frustration and confusion and doubt, and is this the place we belong? But ultimately, we felt like it was, and I'm having kids now, and things are busy, and so when we got to Midtown, I knew so deep within me, I need a place where I can teach God's word.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to make that space. I'm going to make that space happen. Now, again, you know, I don't know. Now we're walking forward with what does that look like?
Trying to figure it out. That's fun. It sounds like a lot like the planting, but you're doing this this ministry. Thinking about it myself, I think it would be a shame to, obviously I'm sitting in front of you and I can tell you've got some gifts, and a lot of your life has been led into just learning and developing yourself so you can share it. So what a wonderful thing that you've done to be able to grow the women's ministry up there. Well, for one, start it and maybe even work with Vintage to make sure it could happen. Yeah. So, and then Vintage is the kind of community and the kind of church that is willing to listen and find a place to leverage those strengths so that we can share in one way or another. So, excellent.
So I know one ministry that you've started at Vintage North is a Salah ministry. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit? I want to hear about what it is and what you're doing, but where did it come from? How did it get started?
3 years ago, probably three, maybe four, I really began to have a conviction that there was an aspect of my prayer life that really just wasn't there. The discipline of studying God's word was something that I think in some ways is a manageable task. We can at least check that off a list and somewhat feel good about ourselves. Mm-hmm. But the task of prayer is so much more mysterious and elusive. And when we make it a task to be checked, I think there's something deeply unfulfilling for most of us in that. And I really began to wrestle with, what does prayer look like for me? I want something different. I have a yearning for something different, and I don't know how to get there. And trying to make space, beginning to fast from social media once a week or learn different ways of prayer, and yet something still was not quite, I don't know, it just wasn't there for me. And I still felt very frustrated in my prayer life. And I blamed it often on, I'm really busy. I've got these little kids and we've got all this stuff going on, and how do you make space for this? And then I was pregnant with our third, and I had a lot of complications. I was on full bed rest for 14 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And that's a lot of time.
Yeah, I was just going to say 14 weeks. Wow.
It's a lot of time. Yeah. And I read Father Lawrence's Practicing the Presence of God and was so challenged and convicted by the simplicity and yet the power of his walk with God, that God was with him gardening and doing the dishes and just these simple places, and realizing, man, that is not what, I don't practice that presence. I don't even quite understand what that means. And here I am in bed with unending time, and yet I run out of things to say to God. And as my world grew smaller and smaller, I didn't even know what to pray because I wasn't running into people. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like I continued to have less and less to say. And really this deep just gut, I am missing some piece to my relationship with God. And I don't quite know what that is. But more than anything, I just wanted to have that baby so I could get out of bed and resume life. Mm-hmm. And so that was really the ultimate goal. But went in and had a very traumatic delivery. And the trauma resulted in pretty immediate PTSD and just a lot of aftermath of that trauma. But probably the most significant thing that happened was I was completely cut off from God in really every way. I have no memory of not knowing what it is to have God in my life. And I think I had taken that for granted my whole Christian walk, to not know how to pray. The scriptures meant nothing to me. I mean, it truly was what St. John of the Cross says is a dark night of the soul. Mm-hmm. But I was able to get into some really great counseling, and married that with the trauma counselor, who was also a believer. And she just began to encourage me, can you ask Jesus into this space? And Tanner began to give me a lot of space, and I would just lay on our floor and not know what to say except, help me. And man, Jesus entered in. And all these words that I always thought that I had to say to him, and all these methods of praying, Jesus entered in when I had nothing to say and nothing to give, and just really transformed how I understood my walk with him, and letting him into those places to minister and care for me in ways that I really couldn't care for myself at that time.
That's powerful, by the way. I'm just listening to that part of it and just feeling like hopeless, and then having the faith or the mindset to know that you can turn to prayer, and you can turn to him and just say, help.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, so many of us, especially in this culture these days, asking for help is very difficult. Yeah. And you just surrendered and said, I need you.
I need you.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's great. I just had to say that.
Wow. I mean, he's so merciful. Out of this place, he began to bring particularly other women who have walked a prayer life that involves a lot of stillness and silence into my life. There's a woman at North, Connie, who has been a part of a prayer ministry called Journey Mates, and she invited me into that. And just giving people space to be quiet before God and let him speak in and let him minister to us, us receive from him versus constantly producing for him. And we were doing our second women's retreat later on that year, and I just knew I want to offer women what God has given me, a place for them if they need to lay on the ground and just say, help me. Mm-hmm. Do they have the space and the permission to do that? And so I partnered with Connie, and we began to think and dream and pray. How do we create a retreat that is steeped in God's word, but not in a way of where we're mastering the text and analyzing the text, but allowing God to speak to us, creating space where we can listen, where we can wrestle. So out of that came our women's retreat. But even probably the most powerful part was we took a group of women that we wanted to be our table facilitators, our table leaders, and really thought and prayed, how do we train them for this? And came to the conviction they actually don't need us to say a whole lot. Could we just start inviting them over to my house, giving them significant amount of silence, reading God's word, and then letting them be with God with some practical stuff at the end. And over time, beginning to hear these women say, I never knew how thirsty I was. I really wished you hadn't asked me to do this because I'm so busy. And then at the end, I couldn't wait to get here because I knew I was going to meet with Jesus tonight. And to begin to see our leaders transformed through simply sitting and being with the God who loves them more than they possibly could know. So we had 62 women come to our retreat, and we did Friday night and Saturday night. And so sessions across, and there was teaching, but a lot of it just centered on Jesus himself going to the desolate place and Jesus being rest for our soul. And what does that look like? And it was powerful and beautiful and humbling to see these ladies sit before God and wrestle with, what does that mean? I think our faith is massively challenged by this. If I am quiet, will he speak to me? If I don't have anything to say, will he show up? And after the retreat, woman after woman came and said, but what about our husbands? we want this for them as well. And so out of that was born our Selah ministry.
Selah.
That we have opened up for both men and women in our church. Similar concept to what we did at the retreat, we are offering them every other month. It is just a place. It's a gift. We say it's a gift of time and space for you to come and be with Jesus. We take away the clutter. We take away chit-chat. I don't think we know how much pressure walking into a room and having to talk to new people is, and we take that off people.
Some of us know.
Some of us know.
I know. Yes. I might be that person.
Yes. We have you arrive early so you can settle in. We ask there to be no talking. Enter in silence. You don't have to make a new friend. There are no expectations on you. There's nothing you have to produce or give in this time. It is truly a quiet, clean house with coffee. And we give our people time to settle. And I think one of the things I'm learning is how, particularly in discipleship, we really focus on our minds. If we can understand something, if we can get that belief right, but how deeply God cares for us as a whole being. And so even when we sit in a room, how clenched are we? How tight are we? Like, how much anxiety are we carrying into this space? And even just having some moments to offer that to Jesus and offer those worries and those anxieties so that we can be present with him right as we are. And then we do something called Lectio Divina, which is just an ancient practice that is done throughout church history. It means sacred reading. And we just choose a passage of scripture and we read it slowly four times. We encourage people, you are not trying to come up with the moral of the story from this passage. You are not trying to analyze it to death. The Spirit is alive and active, and he is speaking to you in the here and the now. And what, how is he speaking to you? Through his word. Let him master you instead of you trying to master this particular text. And then we send people out for an hour and a half and say, go be with God. For some people, that's journaling. For some people, that's walking. We open up our whole house. And one time we had a woman say, I just felt the Lord say, go lay down. You've been going nonstop. And she went and laid down in one of the beds in the back of our house.
We joked about that, but I guess that actually happened.
It does.
Yeah.
And what a great thing. He wants us to rest when we need to rest. Mm-hmm. But really, you know, there's no expectation. So it's really just a gift of space and time to be with God. And then we come back together at the end. And if you would like to share how God has moved in spoke to you during this time, you're more than welcome to do that. One of the things that we're really big on is anytime that they're sharing, whether it was at our women's retreat or at these Selah mornings, this is not a time for anyone to fix you. This is not a time for anyone to even encourage you. We believe that the Spirit's still moving and he is the great encourager. And so people can share knowing that no one's going to respond to them. Even that pressure of being scared that you're not going to get it right and someone may try to fix you. And then we bless you and send you on your way.
Nice. How long is the whole time you said an hour and a half sent off just in your own thoughts and being with God? Mm-hmm. But how long is the whole?
Yeah. So the event's from 9 to 11:30.
Okay.
We ask people to arrive at 8:45 just to, again, settle in and get some coffee, and then we get started at 9.
Thinking to myself about this, who would this be for? Because I think to myself, a lot of us feel busy, and maybe this is, if you're the person's like, my Saturdays, are you kidding me? Is it on a Saturday, by the way?
Yeah.
It is a Saturday, okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, my Saturdays, oh man, they're packed already. Like, maybe this is the perfect thing for for that person that thinks that too.
Yeah. This is for that person. I think we have a problem in our culture, and we laud busyness. There's something to be esteemed about busyness. And I think our faith is suffering from it. I think many of us don't know how thirsty we are to drink from the living water and eat from that bread of life. And I would encourage people to take the risk of slowing down, trusting that God is going to fill them up in a way that maybe is a little incomprehensible.
I like the idea of no chit chat.
Me too.
Kind of wish they'd incorporate that into my workplace sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of an introvert.
Yeah,
I think it's cool because, like you're saying, sometimes, especially for new people or even people that have been here going to Vintage for a long time, been a follower for a long time, you go to something and you're like, okay, am I going to have to share? Am I going to have to talk to new people and tell them some deep, dark secret in my soul? Like, I don't know what.
Yeah.
And it's awesome to just kind of turn that and have a specific event just for sitting and listening to God. Because, yeah, a lot of times it's about getting together for teaching or discussion. All of us need to spend more time just listening and sitting in God, like you said.
Yeah, I agree. I think sometimes the Bible has given us a prescription on how to live, and one of those things is Sabbath, and it's one of those things that we don't make time for. So this, to me, it's like, hey, we're going to practice.
Yeah.
It's like, just anyway, we're just going to dip our toe in.
That's
we're
right.
going to make a little time, not saying every week, not saying. So it sounds great. So when is the next one?
Yeah, it's June 15th.
June 15th.
So coming up around the corner.
Is it open to all campuses, all Vintage?
So we had someone from downtown come to the last one, which is great. It's more registering in a time that we could have space within homes.
Got it. So it makes sense. So if it's around the corner, I guess we'll have some information on how to reach out. If you're listening to this and you're going to try to fit it into the most recent one, which will be coming up pretty quick after this airs, and then we'll have some information to reach out. But then also there's enough time to obviously schedule the next one. It'll be in about 2 months, right?
Yes, September.
Yeah. So there'll be plenty of time to kind of get plugged in. Yeah. If you hear this after the date, you know, don't be discouraged. There's going to be another one, and we can make sure you get plugged into that one.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Kara, it's been really awesome sitting down and getting to know you. And everybody listening, make sure you subscribe to this podcast so whenever a new episode posts, you get notified. And if anybody has a story that they want to share from your community group or your church or a ministry you're involved in, you can send an email to stories@vintagenc.com, and that'll also be in the show notes. So just send your stories. Maybe we'll have you on the podcast. Maybe we'll read your email, and just really want to hear what's going on around the community, because we know there's a lot happening.
Yeah, again, Kara, I just want to say thank you for coming out. It was a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.